Well, did you do it? Did you whistle along? I did. Today I didn't, but usually I do. Today I'm a little off a clunt, so I'm unable to get that all that oxygen out of between my lips, or whatever comes out. I guess it's not all oxygen, right? Well, I hope you're having a good morning. I'm having a great morning. There are a lot of things that are going wrong in my life, but most of the things that are going on are good in my life. And, today, though, I got a phone call this morning from Fred Malone, and Fred told me that he's unable to make it today. So we're gonna kind of freewheel it. All right. What I'm gonna do, by the way, is quite often I like to follow quotes. Pull up quotes on my phone. I have a little book I've kept of quotes. I don't know where it is now, but I did keep one for a long time. I probably had about 10 pages of quotes. So anyway, I'm a big quote fan because I figure that people that are quoted are usually a lot smarter than I am. So if I can read the quote, then maybe I can get a little smarter each time I read one of the quotes. So today I'm going to read some of the quotes. You're welcome to call in. The number here is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And maybe tell me what your favorite quote is, or tell me about the quotes that I use on this show. The first one is one that Theodore Roosevelt said. And I think some people have misconstrued it. I'm a big fan of Theodore. Excuse me. I got a burp right there in the middle of a song, a word. Theodore Roosevelt, and I like the entire Roosevelt family, I think. Eleanor was my favorite Roosevelt, and by the way, Theodore is not the brother of FDR. He is a cousin, I believe it is. Theodore was a Republican, and FDR was a Democrat. They were very friendly. They knew each other. But I think FDR, by the way, I think he kind of idolized Theodore Roosevelt in a way. But anyway, the first quote I have is one of Theodore Roosevelt's quotes. And it says, "Believe you can, and you're halfway there." Now, I think people have kind of twisted that. So how many times have you heard, if you think you can, or you can do anything you really want to do? Quite often they put that word really want to do. That means if you don't get done what you want to do, you didn't really want to, right? Can you do anything you put your mind to do? I don't think you can. Some of us are more talented in areas than others. And there are things I know I couldn't get done, even if I thought I could. There are things that I thought I could get done, and they didn't happen. And I worked hard at them. I guess somebody might say to me, well, you didn't work hard enough because you didn't get it done, and you're still not working at it. Well, at a certain point, you have to live the rest of your life and leave things that aren't working behind, don't you? I don't know. That's the way I believe about it. I really hate people saying you can do anything you want to do. Because, okay, in the United States, probably a white male throughout our history probably could do most of what he wanted to do. But I'll guarantee you, Hispanic woman probably couldn't do half of what she really wanted to do if she lived in the United States. A black woman probably couldn't do what she wanted to do. Shoot, for that matter, an Asian woman couldn't do what she wanted to do because she was put in an internment camp during World War II. Well, anyway, I said to myself and my puppy this morning, don't turn this into another progressive life show. So I'm going to try to avoid doing that. But things like that quote do lead me back to my own beliefs. And that's another thing. I read a quote about, and I can't remember who did it, said it, but basically said people get bored when you talk about yourself. Well, that's all I know about, so that's what you're going to get from me. I don't know too much other than stuff about myself. I think a lot of people believe that the reason why I know a lot about myself is because I like myself. Well, okay. I'll buy that. I do like myself. I've always done right by my friends and my acquaintances. But, you know, I like you too. I like everybody. I don't know why I was brought up or why I turned out that way. I'm sure it had something to do with my upbringing with a Methodist minister as a father. The only person you are destined to become is the person you decide to be, Ralph Waldo Emerson. Now, see, that's kind of along the same line. But it doesn't say you will definitely be what you want to be. It's saying the only person you are destined to be is the person you decide to be. Okay, so if you decide to be a good person, you will be a good person. But if you decide to be a astrophysicist, you probably won't be. I'm not criticizing you. I'm sure you're as smart as a whip. But I don't think most people can figure all that stuff out. I had a hard time in algebra, let alone astrophysics. I did try to take astrology in college. I got through the semester. I did okay, but I found out it was hard math, and I wasn't good at easy math, let alone hard math. My elder son also found out the same thing. The only class that my elder son really struggled with in college was calculus. Well, I couldn't even spell the word calculus, let alone do it. If you have some quotes that you've always lived by, now I don't live by quotes. I read them, I get inspired by them, or I get fired up by them. But I don't live by them. Now, like these two quotes, I agree with Theodore Roosevelt saying, believe you can and you're halfway there. I like that quote because that's saying you're not necessarily going to get everything you want and you're not necessarily going to be everything you want to be, but you're halfway there, so keep trying. I prefer keep trying than you can be anything you want to be. The question isn't who is going to let me, it's who's going to stop me. Now, that's by a very, very controversial political female from, I think, the 50s and 60s, maybe. I'm not exactly sure when she was around. Anne Ryan. And a lot of people hate it, or still do, hate Anne Ryan. She was very controversial. But that quote doesn't seem to be terribly controversial. The question isn't who's going to let me, it's who's going to stop me. It kind of shows her determination, and she was a very determined woman. And I don't find determined women to be anything other than inspiring. I absolutely love Michelle Obama. I loved most of the women in our government. There are a few that have annoyed me, but there are way more than a few of the men that have annoyed me. Okay, we're not going to go to a progressive life, right? Hey, if you want to call in and join in our quote fest, give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'm Glenn Coble, and you're listening to On the Air. That's the name of this program. It's 1026, and I think the last time I looked at the temperature, it was up to 78, I think. It may be a little higher now. It was starting to warm up when I headed this way. And I don't like hot weather. I would much rather have 32 degrees than 92 degrees. I'd even rather have 32 degrees than probably a humid 82 degrees. And we certainly have had some humidity in the air, haven't we? Holy cow. I think I told you yesterday about my wife and I took our very first trip this past weekend in our brand new, well, it's not brand new, it's brand new to us, motorhome, and got to sleep in that downpour that we all had, right? We camped down at Delaware. It wasn't quite as bad, I guess, down in Delaware as it was here. We came back here and found all those tree limbs and trees laying on the ground. I don't think we saw too many of those in the campground down there. If we had, that would have been bad if they had fallen on my brand new motor home. But it did not. The wildlife was crazy, though. It was kind of interesting. I got to tell you about the first day. The first day that we were there, we had a campfire going, and we usually stay the same place when we go to lot 202. It's kind of close to the bathrooms and the showers. We used to have a trailer that really the bathroom was tiny and not very comfortable, so it was better to walk 50 yards to the outhouses and use them because they were in a lot better shape. Well, they weren't in better shape, but they were a lot bigger than our trailer. But we usually stay in the same slot, 202. And it's surrounded by trees and stuff like that. You're never more than, I don't know, 10 feet from the next tree or the tree closest to you. And 3 years ago, the last time we went camping, we heard a growling sound, and we wondered what it was, and I was told later that it could have been a raccoon. Well, this time when we went, it was kind of fun. We're sitting in the back, having the campfire going, having a glass of wine. Now, don't tell the rangers, because you're not supposed to drink any alcohol there. I forgot about that and took a bottle of my son's finest white wine, and we drank a little bit of it. We drank the whole bottle in the 2 days. But we're sitting there relaxing, enjoying, and I look over to the right past my wife, and this giant head of a raccoon stuck up and looked at me, for about, I don't know, 20 seconds. And I had time enough to say to my wife, look over there, there's a raccoon. And when she turned to look at the raccoon took off so she didn't see him. But boy, was he beautiful. That's about as close as they normally get to you. I mean, he was no more than 12 feet from us. And it was kind of surprising. And then I saw at least 4 deer wandering around. Now, you always see a deer or two down there. But there were more deer than I expected to see. So apparently, and the dogs, everybody takes their dog camping. The dogs were barking a lot. So I guess apparently on, I think it was Tuesday when the storm hit. No, it was Monday when the storm hit. On that day, the dogs were barking a lot, and the deer were wandering about a lot, and that's when the raccoon came out. And So I was a little surprised we were seeing so much wildlife. I was going to ask James Anderson when he comes on next week. We're going to ask him, why were there so many animals? And then my wife said to me, well, maybe they were afraid of what was coming. And they had a right to be, apparently. It was pretty bad, wasn't it? Well, anyway, I don't know why I got off the quotes. I'm sure you... Well, because Fred Malone's not here today, I'm kind of vamping, as we call it, in the acting business, or the singing business. The next quote that I happened to pull up, the question isn't who is going to let me, I already read that one, I'm sorry. Winning isn't everything, but wanting to win is. Now that's interesting, because that's a quote from Vince Lombardi, and I think that quote has been twisted a bit. I think people stop at winning isn't everything, and they switch that to winning is everything. I don't know. I was certain that Vince Lombardi never said winning isn't everything, but wanting to win is. That's kind of interesting. I have, as you know, I have I have five high school, six now, as of this month. I have six high school grandchildren, all of them are very good athletes, and I have often told them something similar to this. It's not winning is everything. Winning isn't everything. But wanting to win is something that should always be with you when you're in competition. I'm not sure that we need competition throughout our life. There are a lot of people that say we need to have competition just to live. And maybe that's true. We are, in my opinion, nothing more than animals anyway. And animals, how do animals get by? But through their competition. Competition for food, competition for mates, competition for places to stay and live. And I guess that it's pretty important to be competitive to get all that sort of thing. But I've known a lot of people, having been in intercollegiate athletics for 18 years. I know an awful lot of people that the only thing in life is competition. And I kind of feel sorry for those people. I like to enjoy life. what is that called? I'll remember it later. And if you're always tense because you're competing for something, I don't know how you can enjoy your life. Now, I do. There are people that enjoy being intense and being highly competitive, I guess. Those are the ones that you see on the winner's stands at the Olympics and that sort of thing. But you know, there are a lot of people that are that intense you never see on the winner's stand, because they're only 5'3", 190 pounds. There are people that are intense that just don't have the tools. And I don't think you should blame it on your tools. You should try to sharpen your tools if you're struggling to get where you want to be in athletics or in business or anything like that. But some people just weren't given, when they came out of the womb, they weren't given the tools that they needed to be a center with the Knicks or the Bears. The Bears, yeah. Well, the Bears, you could be a center on the Bears. They weren't given the size to be a center at the Bears. You know what I mean, right? Okay. But it doesn't mean they're any less of a person. I know I can't dunk. My youngest son could dunk, but I can't dunk, so I probably won't make the NBA real soon. Oh, and I'm 76 years old. That probably has something to do with it. It's kind of crazy at my age I used to run now I'm going to tell you this in feet or in yards, not meters, okay? I used to run the 100-yard dash in 10.3, which was pretty fast. My mother was selected to run in the Olympic time trials back in the 30s. So I was given that speed, and all my grandchildren all have it as well. But it's nothing I did. I don't know where I was going with this. I was going to tell you something very profound. Oh, I do that a lot. That's what happens as you get older. You have these great thoughts, and they go fleeting away. And then you say, if I could remember all those thoughts, I could be president of the United States. Well, I'm not sure I could. I would like, you know, that's one thing. I think I've told you on the air. That's one of my goals when I was young. When I was 14 and 15, I told my mother I wanted to be president of the United States. And that didn't go away. It really didn't. When I ran for Ohio state representative, my thought in the back of my head was, after I get that, I'm going for president. Oh, me. I don't know why I feel that way. I'm glad I do, because it's made my life interesting. I hope you have an interesting life, because all my friends seem to have interesting lives, and I'm so happy for people that are enjoying their lives. I hate to see the people. I know a lot of people who, if you go knock on their door right now, if they're not at work grumbling and complaining, they're sitting, lying on their couch, which I do, I will admit that, lying on the couch doing nothing and not planning to do anything. I always have a plan going. I have a plan right now to develop a diversity conference. And I told you I'm not going to do a progressive life today. But my diversity conference will include ways and tools to help you and me and everybody around us learn to live with those who are not of the same color skin, not of the same religion, not of the same mental thought process. I think we need that right now. Put down all the hate and learn how to work with everybody around you. We have people on my street that, you know, come political season, they have signs out that aggravate me. But they're nice people, and I get along fine with them. And I think we need to learn how to get along with people that aggravate you, okay? Okay, I am sliding into my progressive life genre, so I'm going to get out of that. Okay, it's 10:40. You're listening to WWGH here on 107.1. I'm Glenn Coble. The name of the show is On the Air, and we are on the air, but unfortunately we were without Fred Malone. He had some family things he had to take care of at the last minute, and that's fine. I will try to not bore you to tears, okay? That's why I'm quoting other people, not quoting myself. Whether you can, or whether you think you can, or you think you can't, you're right. Henry Ford said that. Now, Henry Ford is not one of my favorite people. He was very well-to-do. First of all, that makes me suspect. And he was well-to-do on the backs of other people. That makes me angry. And he really was a racist. That also aggravates me. But he was a smart man. There is no doubt about it that he was a smart man. If he hadn't been smart, he wouldn't have gotten to where he went. He wouldn't have thought of the idea of the running the automobiles through a line to build them. Why can't I remember the name of that line? Anyway, he was a very intelligent man. He did some pretty nasty things. He directed some people to shoot at people. I think some of his henchmen actually killed some of the strikers, if I recall correctly. It's been a while since I read about Henry Ford, but there's no doubt about it. He knew a lot of stuff. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Now, everybody knows that's Wayne Gretzky's quote. That would be right at the beginning of my book, if I had a book of quotes other than the notes that I've taken. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. it's kind of been my life's mantra. I've always tried to do things that people have told me you can't do. Not that I'm good at it. I've failed at an awful lot of them. But for some reason or other, and I think it probably was growing up with a mother that told me I shouldn't do a lot of stuff. matter of fact, I'll tell you a story about my poor mom, my poor sainted mom. She told me when I was, where were we living at the time? Okay, we were in the parsonage at the church in Valparaiso, Indiana. So I was probably just turned 15. I was going to try out for football. And they hadn't had junior high football. So I might have been just turning 14. I went to my mother and I said, Mom, I'm going to try out for football. And she said, you can't try out for football. You're only, at the time, I was probably 5'5" and 105 pounds. I was real small. Well, maybe I was a little bigger than that. But anyway, I was small enough that my mother thought there would be no way that I could play football. And we started arguing. I said, I am going to play. And she said, no, you're not. And I said, I am. And I grabbed her by the arm, and I put her in an arm lock, if you know what that is, you know, where you put the arm behind their back. And I said, Mom, I'm going to try out for football, whether you like it or not. And Mom slipped on a wet spot in the kitchen and fell down, and I broke her arm. Oh, gosh. An incident that I will never forget without feeling massive shame. To make a very long story short, I tried out for football and I ended up getting a college scholarship to play football. And that was one of those things that I was lucky. My body got bigger about that time. I did really love to play football. I like the offensive side. I like catching the ball. I was a tight end because I actually grew fairly tall, you know, 5'11". I was able to catch the ball. They wouldn't throw to me, though, because they weren't sure whether I could catch the ball. But I was able to catch the ball. I actually won a game once on a catch. It was an extra point catch, as a matter of fact. And they threw it to me in the end zone, and we beat our arch rival, the Cheese of Chesterton, Ohio, Indiana. I believe that some people are just lucky. I was just lucky. By the way, my college football career, I got more splinters on my butt than I got to play, the number of minutes I got to play. Quite frankly, it got me really quite bored, and at the second year, I just said, to heck with it. I found that girls were a lot more fun, right? And partying was a lot more fun. That was probably the downfall of all of that. But I did find out if I don't take the shot, I'm not going to get there, right? And that's what Wayne Gretzky said. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. 10:46, you're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble. This is a rather warming up Thursday. I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the water to create many ripples. Oh, I'm going to have to hang on. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Anyway. Okay, let's get back to the quotes, if I can find them. That's the problem with having them all on the phone. If you can't find them, you get lost, right? If you can't find your original place. Okay, I'm getting there, okay? Don't go away. And that phone call was from somebody I probably should have taken the call from. I found out that I have a broken windshield in my brand new... hang on just 1 second. Okay, yeah, here it is. Okay, I have a little stone crack, and so I took it over to Hayes Glass, very nice people. I took it over there, and he told me that it had been repaired before, and so maybe we couldn't re-repair it. And so I'm kind of struggling with what to do. But the neat thing about it, and this is a unsolicited endorsement of Hayes Glass. They were very kind. He helped me. He was honest. I felt he was very honest with me. And you can't ask for more when you're dealing with business people. Unfortunately, we have a lot of business people that don't remember that, right? And it kind of throws us off. Anyway, where are we? Okay. Oprah said, "You become what you believe." There's a lot to be said about your positive thoughts in your head. If you really think you can do something, you'll do it a lot better than if you really think you can't do that, right? Anyway, that's what Oprah says. You become what you believe. I'm not an anti-Oprah person. I'm just not a big Oprah fan. I have met Oprah. I took one of my basketball players on the Oprah show in Chicago before she was anybody. She had a show much like her shows on network TV. Her show in Chicago was a talk show, and she'd bring in guests, and they'd talk about things. And the show that I was took my basketball player to was a show about tall people and short people. Well, guess which one my basketball player was. Yeah, I took Terry Cummings to that, and I think he was 6'8", maybe 6'9", something like that. And Jimmy Hurdies, and none of you have heard of him, probably, unless you're a big fan of the Brown Derby and are related to horse stuff, because he was a jockey. Now, he wasn't the type of jockeys that they have at the Derby. He was the type of jockey that rode right down flat on the back of those horses. But he was about, I would guess, he was about 5'1". He was very small. And so that's what her show was about. All right, where are we going from here? The most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is merely tenacity. There's a lot to be said about that. If you get out of your feeling that you can't do it or you don't want to do it because you might fail, if you can get out of that feeling, go past that feeling, and do some action... One act, at least to me, like when I'm planning this show, I will say, oh, I got to do another show. I got to think through stuff. Well, so what I do, I go to my phone, grab my doggy, we sit down, and I look through all my notes that I've written to myself. And one of my notes will remind me of something to do. So I do it. I know I'm not going to like doing it, but I do it. And all of a sudden, I don't mind doing it. And that leads me to something else. And then I start to develop my show. You know, I might be calling somebody to have them as a guest, or it might just be studying some, you know, thing that I'm going to talk about, or it might just be writing down quotes. Anyway, that's I like that quote. The decision to act, the most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is merely tenacity. And the tenacity is just doing it. But once you get started, in most cases, it becomes pretty easy to act. You know who said that? A woman that unfortunately paid with her life for her tenacity, Amelia Earhart. All right. I alone can change the world, but I can't. Oh, I already did that one. I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the water to create many ripples. And I read that before, but I forgot to tell you who said that. That was said by Mother Teresa. And she has made lots of ripples. There's no doubt about that. She recently has fallen upon some bad pub, and I don't know why. But anyway, I will have to look into that. How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. That was said by Anne Frank, a young girl who was killed by the Nazis. Where did she find that positive feeling? I've read a lot of things from Anne Frank, and she was always a positive thinker. It seems like she was. I'm certain the day that they dragged her away to her death, she was not positive, but who knows? We don't have quotes from that exact moment. An unexamined life is not worth living. Now, Socrates said that, and that's one of those quotes that I've always taken to heart. If you don't keep thinking about the stuff you're doing right and the stuff you're doing wrong, you just won't improve. The name of my other show, A Progressive Life, is the celebration of examining a life. It's so that I can move forward and do things better. And it's for you the same thing. If you examine your life, you can find out something. Oh, my goodness, I said something really bad to that person. How can I make it right? Why did I say that? Was it because I don't like a certain race, creed, color, whatever? If you examine your life, you will find, like I've told you several times on my Progressive Life show, I know that I'm prejudiced. I would say most people would say, well, you're really not prejudiced. Yes, I really am prejudiced. I notice things in a prejudicial way. You know, I notice that there are, okay, here's one. I notice that there are a lot of very well-to-do Jewish people. I don't think that really has anything to do with them being Jewish if I examine it. But if I don't examine it, I could see where I would get very, what is the word? I would be jealous of the, but I found out I was lucky. I was always lucky. When I was a youngster, my dad, we rented a cottage up on Crooked Lake in northern Michigan, up by Little Traverse Bay, up by Petoskey, Michigan. And every summer we went there until, actually, my dad actually bought a cottage on that waterfront. And I would guess 80% of the people around us were Jewish. And I found out how much I really liked my Jewish friends. And I didn't, you know, even saying that they were Jewish annoys me. I find that as prejudicial. They were just people. They didn't believe in Christianity. They believed in Judaism. Why should I care? That's their belief. But I grew up, one of my high schools was about 35% African American. I was so lucky, and I'm afraid you were not as lucky as I am. I wish you were all as lucky as I have been. And it has nothing to do with me being good or bad. It has to do, I was at the right place at the right time and had the right mother and father. And I believe they were the right ones. Now, some people might say, no, you know, they probably led you down the snowflake side. I love that term. I've been called a snowflake by a couple of people, usually in jest. But, you know, if you put enough snowflakes together, they make a snowball. If you put if you roll a snowball big enough, you can make a snowman. And if you make that even bigger, you can have the biggest avalanche that can roll down over the top of everything, right? So I don't mind being a snowflake. I'm just one of several snowflakes, and we're bonding together. And hopefully we will make the world change. I know you want to make the world change too. People that listen to my shows, I am absolutely positive, want to make a change either in their life or in the world, or at least are thinking about it. I'm sure there are a lot of people that listen to my show that say, well, he's just absolutely stupid. And that's good too. Maybe you can change me. You're welcome, by the way, to call here at 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, I'm not begging for phone calls. I mean, when I get off on a tirade, I think people tend not to want to call. They want to learn and scream at their radio, right? I hope you're not screaming too loudly. We only have a couple of minutes to go, so I'm not going to... Well, yeah, let me give you one more quote that I have written down here. Let's see. Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. Now, that's kind of similar to one of our other quotes. You have to be brave enough to step off the end of the pier to get in the water, right? If you want to get in the water. If you don't want to get in the water, you have to be brave enough to get off the pier. Okay? I think all these quotes are kind of leading to the fact that you have to look at what you really want to do and be strong enough to go ahead and take that first step to do something. I remember when my wife and I decided to help the Obama campaign back in 07, I think it was. My wife is very reticent to go out in public. She's a very shy person. She didn't want to do it, but after she took the first step and found out how much she really cared for President Obama, I did too, she found it was easy work because she had taken that first step and she loved him and she loved the opportunity.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From presidential nominee, the man with the gold.